Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for victory in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know what victory is. We live it. We know what it is, Lord, but it looks different sometimes than what the world may say and what others may say. And Lord, we thank you for victory in Christ. And Lord, I ask now that you would please just speak to the hearts of your people with this simple message, Lord, this very simple but timely message, Lord, that whoever hears it may be blessed by it, but especially, Lord, those that are in this room. And Lord, that you would use it to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and we ask for the Holy Ghost to feed our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 18. You know, the title of this message is Deliverance from Darkness, or Prison Doors Opened. And if you read the Psalms, what you find out through there is that David went through many trials. You know, one of the verses, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of them all, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Amen. That's a promise of God. You know, sometimes it's important, as I'll show you this here. I'll show you this. Brother Joshua, come up here, please, for a second. I want to show you this here. Just hold this up here for me. As the Lord was dealing with me for the last 3 weeks, you know, I have all these pen marks and all these, you know, underlinings, marks. And you know what the Lord led me to do as I was going through this was write some things down as I was going through. And one of those things was every time I saw a promise of God, I wrote promise next to it. I wrote, that's a promise right there. That's God's promise, and that promise is to us as his children. And by going through that and seeing that, it builds your faith. Because that's the Word of God will build your faith. If there's anything that the people in this room and we need right now is for God to build our faith. Because Satan is the master of doubt, discouragement, darkness, the prince of darkness. When you go through dark times in your life and dark things happen to you, you have to understand that they come where that darkness comes from. Where that doubt and discouragement comes from. But more importantly, you have to understand where victory comes from. Amen. Like I said Wednesday, the light of the candlestick, the church shines bright. All right, so, but David went through a lot of things. I mean, David, man, I tell you, it's amazing. When you go through trials of this life, you need to have yourself in the Psalms and reading them. And boy, I'll tell you what, it just comes alive to you more so than ever as you go through there. But we're going to start reading in Psalms 18, and we're going to go through it. There's a lot of verses here. Some of them I won't concentrate on as much. There's 50 verses here. But we're going to read some of these. But understand this, that David, I mean, think about David. Think about David's life in parallel with Paul's life, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, what did he go through? He said, in dangers, in perils of false brethren, in perils of waters. A day and night he was in the deep, he said. Right? Twice what? Yeah, thrice. Yeah, he was stoned. He died once, right? He was beaten, stripes, lashes, falsely accused. And no man stood with him. But out of them all, the Lord delivered him. He said that the Lord delivered him out of the mouth of the lion. All right, let's read. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Let's get started right there. Look at that. David says that he will love. David says that he will love the Lord. I will love thee. Listen, the best way, the first way to get out of darkness is your love and your concentration to be on God. Loving God. Why? Because he first loved us. That's why. Because he first loved us. But he says, O Lord, my strength. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. There are going to be, as a Christian, you are going to go through trials, and you are going to go through times when you have no strength, when you cannot even get yourself up off of the floor. And the only thing that gets you up off of the floor is God, your strength. But that's why God allowed you to be on the floor. What anyone may mean for evil, God will mean for good. And God will lift you up off of the ground. Because he is your strength. There is no deliverance from dark times or dark places in the mind or whatever, or afflictions or persecutions or anything that can ever take place for the child of God unless he realizes his strength comes from God. It doesn't come from your intellect. It doesn't come from your wisdom. It doesn't even come from the power of God that he gives you. It comes from God. And that's why no man can take it from you. Because they didn't give it to you. And they can't take it away from you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall persecutions? Mm-mm. Nope. Nothing. Nothing. What strength there is in that. What strength there is in loving God and knowing that he is your strength. Because there's going to come a time in your life, no matter where you are, if you are called to preach or you're called to do anything for God, you better understand one thing. You are going to be brought down to where there is nothing in you, nothing left for you, but looking right at God and him being your strength and him literally peeling you off of the floor. Beware of any man or anyone who says, I did this, or see what I have done, or look what I have done. I will ascend. I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I built that empire. I did this. I did that. Oh, that's well said, serpent. By thy own words you'll be judged. Praise God. Let's move on. The Lord is my rock. Listen, God will humble such a man as he humbles all of us and shows us that we really are nothing without him. David said he would love the Lord. Nothing dispels any darkness and despair of the mind like loving the Lord Jesus Christ and focusing on him and getting your eyes off yourself. Dead men don't have pride. Crucified men don't care if they're falsely accused. They're dead. Think about that. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God. David said, God is his rock. Listen, you're going to come to a time in your life when you're like, I can't do it. You're right. You're in a great place. Amen. You're in a great place. God, I can't fight my enemies. God, I can't do this. That's a great place to be. Why? Because God can fight for you. And he will fight for you. Do you understand that? There's a challenge in your life right now, whatever that challenge may be, whatever you are facing, you understand it, admit it. I can't do anything, God. I can't do anything right now. Praise God, you're in a great place. God, I don't know how this financial thing is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know that. Good. Because now you have to have faith. And faith that is not tested is worthless faith. Throw it right in the fire and test it and find out it's real. That's right. All the impurities burn away. The Lord is my rock, David said. David said, God is his rock and Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's promise. God's promise. The rock. How about honey from the rock? The water of life in a dry and thirsty land came from the rock. The rock. Jesus Christ. David said God was his fortress. What's a fortress? What is a fortress? It's a defense. It's a safety. It's a security. What's the best place to run when troubled times come? Right into a fortress. For security. For safety. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes the person that talks first loses. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet and let God fight for you. Wisdom is justified of her children. All her children. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. God is my high tower. He said, God is my strength. Why is David saying this? David is praying this. Why? Because of the challenges and the darkness of his life that has surrounded him. David has been completely surrounded by his enemies. He is completely outnumbered. He is completely surrounded. He is completely outnumbered. And what has he done? Hide in the fortress. He's hiding. Hiding under the shelter of his wings. Under the shadow of his wings. Why? Because it's a safe place to be. My deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Why is David praying? It's because he has to. He has to trust God. David has to trust God. David cannot allow. David cannot allow himself to be discouraged and to stay down. David cannot allow himself to be taken in his mind. David says God is his strength. God is his buckler. What does that mean? A buckler is a shield. But do you know what kind of a shield a buckler is? A buckler is a shield that goes all the way down. It covers everything. Completely. It was wrapped in something like leather, and then it was wrapped with something else, and it was completely covered like three times with something to keep it, and it was impenetrable. By fiery arrows that would come, it could not be penetrated because God was his buckler and God was his shield. That's what kind of a shield God is. He said, my buckler. You will never have an intimate relationship with God until you go through trials. You will never get to know God until you go through trials. You will never, your faith will never be tested so much as unless it goes through trials and you can see God in the trial. That's why God allows his children to go through trials. So they can be tested and tried and see that God is true. And he is faithful. My buckler, he said, my shield, my high tower, the horn of my salvation. He sits high above all in the high tower, and God can see the attack coming way before you and I ever can. He protects us in the high tower from all evil. The horn of my salvation, David called him. What do you mean by that? Well, what's a horn? The horn is to animals the means of their defense. Their strength lies in the horn. Hence, the word is used here as elsewhere to represent that to which we owe our protection and defense in danger. And the idea here is that God wants us, wants the psalmist, what the horn is to the animals, to mean the defense. It's their defense. Turn to Psalm 22, 21. David said, save me from the lion's mouth. Now, why did David say that? Well, David was saved from the paw of the lion, wasn't he? Yeah. He said, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Psalm 75. Verse number 4 and 5. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. About that one for a little while. Psalm 75:10. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Psalm 92:10. Verse number 9 says, for lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know what a cedar is, right? How tough a cedar is, how tall it is, how strong it is. Mm-hmm. What's that, brother? No, it doesn't rot. That's right. Listen. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Oh, no, I don't want to be fat, but okay. Just kidding. I know what that means. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen. I love the promises of God, don't you? We just got started, too. We got a long ways to go. But that's okay. I've been gone for 3 weeks, so you need a long sermon. So. I've been preaching 3 weeks. I got some catching up to do, okay? Psalm 132, verse number 17. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for mine anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon himself shall his crown flourish. And then Psalm 148, 14. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even all the children of the children of Israel, a people near unto him, praise ye the Lord. Amen. So David talked about the horn of his salvation. He said God was the horn of his salvation, right? Back up here. Here we go. Man, we're just on verse number 3, aren't we? Wow, or 2. Yeah, there we go. Okay, good. and the horde of my salvation, who gore. I like how Trapp says this. Who goreth and dispatcheth mine enemies. A metaphor either from horned beast or else, as some will have it, from the ancient custom of wearing horns and things. And the horn beaten down, a sign of being overcome. When the horn is exalted, it is a sign of victory. When it is beaten down, it is a sign of defeat. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. All right. So David goes on to say, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Listen, David didn't turn to despair. He was pulling himself out of that trap of despair, that castle of despair that's talked about in Pilgrim's Progress. He pulled himself out of that. How did he do that? He did that by calling upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. He started to praise God. And I'm going to tell you, one of the only ways that you will ever escape despair is to praise God. Right. Because everyone in this room has something to praise God for.
Amen. Amen.
And when you start doing that, somebody asked me that one day, well, my thoughts aren't right. I said, well, why don't you start praising God then? Why don't you start writing down some things that you're thankful for that God has done for you? And I don't care if you're lost or saved. You start writing a list down of things that God has done for you, that the blessings that you have in your life, and I'll tell you what, your attitude will change. It'll bring you out of despair. Why? Because you're praising God. And he's worthy to be praised. Stop praising defeat and discouragement. And start praising God. David said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Those sorrows brought him to the brink of the grave. That death had almost taken hold of him before he was aware. David said in his distress, he just kept thinking about how bad everything was. No! He said, no, I'll think to God. I'll praise God. I'll praise him. Did he just keep listening and thinking on evil things? No. What did he do? He praised God. When the sorrows of death compassed him about. What did he say? And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. David said he was flooded by ungodly men. He was flooded by people who just trampled him and were after him. Yeah. But he also said, but Isaiah also said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Death had almost taken hold of him. What did he do? He cried unto God. You know, there was a time when, if you're not careful, you will allow your enemies to make you afraid. Can't do that. Nope. David said, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. He felt like all hell was after him. And they were. And sometimes in your life, all hell's forces are going to come after you. Especially if you want to do something for God. Let me tell you something. I said it before, I'll say it again. Somebody tells me they're called to preach, we'll see. We'll see. What's that? Exactly. That's right. Yeah. David said in his distress, what did he do? He said, I called. He said, in my, verse number six, he said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Oh, no, in his distress, he just kept being discouraged, kept thinking of his own thoughts, kept with the devil's satanic circular reasoning over and over again. Oh, man, this is terrible. Oh, man, this is bad. Oh, man, this is the worst thing in the world. No, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not. The worst thing in the worst thing in the world is not to have God. That's the worst thing in the world. That's the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world is to be the enemy of God. Not a good place to be. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. Amen. David was expressing that he cried. His enemies had no hope of his destruction unless God should abandon him. And they hoped that this was the case and that therefore they should prevail. But God heard his cry and came down to his help. And this interference is most majestically described in Psalm 18:7. But I want you to notice how personal our God is. David said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Look what he said. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Do you understand that? That the cry of God's children comes straight to his ears and he hears it? That's why David said over and over again, how long, O Lord? How long? How long? How long will they mock and blaspheme your name? Only as long as he lets him. And when he's tired of it, squashed. David said in his distress, he called, he cried. He called and he cried. And God heard. See that? That should bring great rejoicing to the heart of the child of God. Amen. David said, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. That's some hot fire. He bowed the heavens also and came down. And darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. He said, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, the blast of thy breath, of thy nostrils, he sent from above. What does David said? What did David say here? He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. What does that mean? David was in waters. He was in dark, dark waters, deep waters, deep troubles. The water, the sea, is a picture of the troublesome times and the terrible times and the trials, tribulation, afflictions, right? Those are a time of afflictions, and the sea is raging around you. And he said, God picked me up out of those waters. He brought me out of those waters, and he delivered me from them. That's why you have to keep your eyes on Christ and not on the storm. I remember a message about that once. Sometimes the messages are good for the preacher to listen to again. He lightened my darkness. I'm going to get to that in verse number 28, but I want to keep reading this here. Yea, he sent out his arrows, it says here. He said he lifted him, he drew him out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. But not too strong for God. Amen. Sometimes the greatest strength is to admit you can't do anything. That's where the power of God is shown. Sometimes silence is better than speaking. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. Sometimes in life, and you mark it down if there's somebody here that's called to preach, you remember this one thing. There's going to be a time when you can do nothing. But go to the Lord. But after that time is finished and you've been through that, you will trust God more than you ever have in your life. Because you will have to. And you will see that he is faithful. Amen. You will see that he is faithful. And he will not leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes it has to be enough that you know that you're right with God. Do you understand that? No matter what anybody else thinks, you have to know that you're right with God. And all hell can come after you, and it won't matter because you know that you're right with God. He brought me forth also into a large place. David said God brought him into a large place. He wasn't stuck. He was in a large place. He could move. His feet were safe. He could travel. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Understand one thing. Deliverance only comes from God. It only comes from the Word of God. True deliverance comes from the Lord. Amen. Whatever you need delivered from, whatever darkness you have, whatever distress you have, whatever devils people have, the only deliverance comes from God, not cunningly devised fables, not tactics, but the Word of the living God. I could say more, but I won't. I will hold my tongue. David said God delivered him because he delighted in him. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, and he recompensed me. David said God rewarded him. David said this. David wasn't saying he was perfect. But notice what he said in verse number 21. He said, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." You say, how can a man go through so many things, so many trials, so many heartaches, so many pains, so many afflictions, so much distress, so much anguish, so many attacks, and still do what God called him to do? "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God." Mm-hmm. And then they can't separate you from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus. What did David say? Psalm 25, 21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." David said he waited on God. Proverbs 11, 3, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." The just man, it's in Proverbs 27, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." What did Job say? Job 27, 5. "God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me." Take it to the grave. "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before me, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight." He said, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright." Write down a promise right there. That's the promise of God. Now, did God tell David that he would never be falsely accused? He didn't tell him that, did he? Did he tell the apostle Paul, "Paul, I'll tell you what, man, you serve me and everybody's going to love you. Man, the sun's going to shine every day, Paul. They're going to have roses for you when you walk out. They're going to have gifts for you. They're going to love you. They're going to sing your praises." Right? Now what happened to him? He got saved and people tried to kill him. That's what happened to him. That's right. What did he say was the offscouring of the earth? "Hated of all men, that I may win Christ, that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness." That's what he said. Amen. "For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes." David said, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful." Write that down as a promise. "With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." "For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks." Right. I like verse number 28. I like it a lot. It was funny because before I put together that The Church Shines Bright, the candle one that I did on Wednesday, I found this. And I was kind of meditating on dark times and dark things of the mind and dark places and things like that. And people that get discouraged and depressed and different things like that. And, you know, I was thinking about that a lot. And, you know, there was this verse. You know, I went to Piedmont. I went to our Valdez. Not over in Europe, but I better clarify that because, like, where'd you? Yeah. I just got in my private jet because I'm so wealthy. You know, I got in my private jet and just flew over there with leather seats, right? Flew over there because I'm so wealthy and everything. Man, dumb on purpose has to be a condition. Seriously. Some people are too smart to be that dumb. Anyway, okay, so I'm going to move on. Sorry, when I'm just... I feel that fire getting lit even more as I preach from the Lord, and it's just like... Okay, so when I was in Valdez, though, we stopped at the museum, and there was, I don't know if I have it on here or not. I think I might. Let me see. See if I put it in there or not. I stopped at the museum in Valdez there, and the Waldensians, you know about, I've talked about them a little bit. But anyway, they have a symbol that they use, you know. You know, they have a symbol that they used in order to show, you know, what their persecution and everything. And that's the symbol. It's the word of God, and then there's a candle, and then there's the seven stars for the seven churches, right? And they went through a lot of persecution, but what they showed is that the Lord lights their candle. Right. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but thou wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will lighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. David said, For by thee have I have ran through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. God is the one that delivers, and God is the one that gives the strength to leap over the wall. The Lord God will enlighten my darkness. David said God would lighten his candle, didn't he? For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He will shed light on my path, which would otherwise be dark. He will impart light to my understanding, will put peace and joy in my heart, will crown me with his favor. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He hath and yet still will turn my grief into joy. And meanwhile, direct and comfort me in mine afflictions, as a candle is a great comfort in the dark, though it doth not make day where it comes as the sun doth. But David said that God would lighten his darkness. He said, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. David said God had given him the shield of his salvation. In all battles and dangers, God defended him. He was constantly safe because he possessed the salvation of God. Everywhere God protected him, thy gentleness and thy meekness or humility. Thou hast enabled me to bear and forbear, to behave with courage in adversity, and with humility in prosperity. And thus David became great. By these means God blessed him. God took care of him. David said, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thou hast saved me as with a shield. Thou hast thrown thy shield before me in times of danger. David said he was protected. And thy right hand hath holden me up. You must understand one thing, that the devil will always throw darts at you. And he will do it at the most evil and wicked opportunities and times that he can, to shake you. Because all he has is a chain to shake at you. But he will shake it fiercely. David said, and thy right hand hath holden me. David said, for who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is he that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. David said it was God that girded him with strength. You have to understand, what do you need strength for? What do you need strength for? Trials, to fight, that's right. So if you and I believe that we're just going to float through this Christian life with no trials, did we really think honestly that we could fight the devil the way that we have and that he would not fiercely come and attack? Yes, sometimes I actually did think that. But I kind of did a few times. Yeah. I mean, I really didn't think that it would be that bad. What's that? That's right. And thy right hand hath hold me up, David said, though. David knew where his strength came from. He said that God girded him with strength. Why? Because you need it for fighting. God didn't give you this strength just so you could sit in the mirror and flex your muscles. Right? He gave it to you because you need it. You need it to war against the wicked one. That's what you need it for. The ruthless attacks. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. David said, God made his feet like hinds' feet. What does that mean? Have you ever seen a deer or any type of animal like that walk on slippery places? Have you ever seen, I've been hunting before and I've sat and I've watched in amazement as you see a deer climb the side of a cliff and not fall or slip one time. Their footing is so sure that they're not even a bit afraid of falling. Like they don't even, like a mountain goat, right? They don't even, except when an eagle tips him off, which is the funniest video I've ever seen in my life. I watched it like 100 times. Yes, the eagle comes down and it tips the goat off and it drops the goat down the cliff. And I seriously laughed so hard I peed my pants almost laughing. It was just, it was great. I'm serious. It was great because the goat, the eagle just looks and he goes, and he turns his head and he goes, and then he just comes down, he goes, and he tips the goat, boop. And then he grabs him and he drops him off the cliff. Then he eats him after he bangs his head against a rock or something. Then he eats him. It's hilarious to see. But anyway. But you see, they're sure footing, though. They're not afraid, right? They're not afraid. That's what David is saying. He's saying that God gave him those hinds feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. David talked about the long-suffering of God declares his power. What he does not punish now, he can punish by and by. What he does not punish here, he can punish there. What not in this world, in the next. He is, in the words of the psalmist, strong and patient. Patient because he is strong, because all power belongeth unto him. The long-suffering of God is a declaration of his love. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He sees the saint in the sinner, the saint that shall be in the sinner, that is. He sees the wheat in the tare, the shepherd feeding the sheep, and the wolf tearing the sheep. This tardiness of vengeance, this lame foot with which it seems to lag and halt after successful wickedness, is no pledge of safety to the sinner. It argues no listlessness, no moral indifference to the eternal distinctions between good and evil on the part of him who is the judge of the whole earth and by whom actions are weighed. It means, number one, that Christ has died for sinners, and number two, that God can afford to wait. Yep. Flee from him thou canst not. To flee to him is thy only way of deliverance. David said, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet did not slip. The idea here is that thou hast made room for my feet so that I have been enabled to walk without hindrance or obstruction. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. The idea is that he was before straightened and compressed and hindered in his goings, but that now all obstacles have been taken out of his way and he can walk freely. David said his feet didn't slip. It means they were properly in joint. The reference here, the joint is that the useful in walking so that he's liable to be sprained or dislocated? No, but David said, no, my feet didn't slip. This meaning is that he had been enabled to walk firmly and continue to walk firmly. The divine favor given to him was as if God had given strength to a lame man to walk firmly. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, they were not able to rise, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. God's promise. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Yep. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. And thou hast made me the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me, David said. So obviously he's speaking of his kingship there. Skip down here to verse number 46. David said, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Amen. You know, praise delivers from fears. Praise delivers from the destruction and distress. It is God, David said, that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He said, he delivers me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. What did he do? David said in the times of darkness, he sang praises unto God. David trusted in the promises of God. Psalm 35, verse number 12 through 18. Verse number 11, he says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned unto mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. What does David say, though? He says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. David said he would praise God. That's what he would do. When his enemies come, he would praise God. In verse number, in Psalm 34, 8, he said, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Verse number 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. That's a promise right there. That's a promise of God. Prayers deliver from the prison doors too. Prayers and patience, Psalm 37, 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Amen. Psalm 40, verse number 1 through 5. Patience delivers from the prison doors too. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Amen. Prayers, patience. David said, I waited patiently on the Lord. David was delivered out of all his afflictions, but he waited patiently. Psalms 20, 22. Psalm 22. Verse 7 and 8. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore shalt thou make them turn their back when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon thy strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Praising God opens those prison doors. Praise. Prayer opens those prison doors of affliction and distress and discouragement. Patience opens those prison doors. Like brother, I think it was Brother Andrew's message was on patience, I believe. Faith and patience, right. He talked about that. The hardest thing that you will ever do is exercise patience. Especially when you're a fighter. Especially when you're used to going for the knockout right away. Then the Lord gives you a different lesson that you have to learn. And you have to wait on Him. Listen to me and understand this. No matter how many times that you and I are provoked by the devil, we must patiently wait on the Lord. Because He will never stop provoking us. But wait on the Lord. Be patient and wait on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for trials. Thank God for the challenges. Why? Because, first of all, count it all joy. That's right, when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Do you understand that you cannot just, you get saved by the grace of God, and you can't, as a child of God, you will never learn to know God unless you are tried by God. Do you understand that? Unless you are tried in the furnace of affliction, you will never get to know God. You get to know God by being tried. You think you know God until a trial comes into your life and you are challenged by that trial. And then it shows the test of your relationship with the Lord. And then God shows you that you really don't know anything. That's what. Why do you think Paul said that I may know Him? Not Paul didn't say, yeah, I know Him good, I'm great. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Right? We will always go through trials. Trials for the child of God only drive them to God. Trials for a lost person drives them away from God. And crazy. Exactly. I don't want to talk about crazy. I've seen enough of that in my life. All the nuts aren't on one tree. That's all I got to say. But I ain't even kidding. I used to think I knew what crazy was. Wow. Anyway, okay. But what's anyway, let's see if I have another scripture for you here. Psalm 21. Oh, no, I already read that to you. Okay, good. All right, well, anyways, as we close out here in Psalm 18, understand this one thing, what God is saying. Look at this. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. David says, God's going to avenge me. God will deliver me. God will take care of me. And then what does he say? Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forever. God gives great deliverance to his people. He's the only one that can. The best place you can be is the place where only God can deliver you. Because no flesh shall glory in his presence. But God will deliver his saint, and God will show that he did that. But God cannot and will not deliver you until you need him. And until you see your dire need for him. And then he will deliver you. And then he will make it known that he delivered you. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait upon God. Father, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the truths of the scriptures. Thank you, Father, for the promises of God. Thank you for the mercy of God, the power of God, the long-suffering of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word as it feeds us. May we esteem it more than our necessary food. And Lord, may it heal your people. May it smite those that need smited, and may it comfort those who need comforted. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.